What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Metalcore Nerds. I am Sean Mott.
And I am Joel Cupcake. And this is another episode of Metalcore Nerds. This is the mega super large gig episode.
Yes, very, very large.
We're not just recapping. Oh, sorry, Sean, I cut you off.
No, you're fine.
We are not just recapping Loki episodes 3 and 4. We are talking about Shang-Chi. We are talking about Family Forever, aka Fast 9, and
Family Forever.
Whatever the fuck else Sean wants to talk about, because it's his show, and I don't know why I'm already doing all the talking.
Nah, dude, you are fine, Joel. You are doing what I brought you in here to do. All right,
correct.
That's bring excitement.
You. Thank you.
Enjoy.
I try,
but
I try.
Awesome. We're hot off another MCU trivia night last night. It went amazing. It was super fun. We're going to be doing another one next month. It's all going to culminate in a big tournament, which I'm still figuring out, but I figured out how people are going to get into it. It's going to be fun. It's been very fun so far.
If you did like a Star Wars specific trivia night, Sean, I'd partake, but
I think I'm going to do one next year around like May the 4th. I'll probably do like a Star Wars one.
Cause you know, my MCU knowledge, I'm a peon, you know, so.
And also Sam brought up in the Facebook group, if you're not part of the Facebook group, please join. It is awesome. She brought up that maybe one day people will send in questions to her and they'll challenge me, and then someone can challenge me and I will participate in MCU trivia against someone else.
I like that on you know, my show, which you've been a guest on, Sean.
Yeah.
My 30th episode, I had Nick from Maltov on the show. And he only agreed to do the show if we could do a second episode where he, like the second part of the episode, he interviewed me.
Amazing.
And wow. I was like, you know, I don't really get that idea. Like, let's fucking rip it, dude.
Let's do it. But yeah. Yes, if you are new to Metalcore Nerds, this is a podcast where I bring in people from the heavy music sphere and we talk about pop culture. Sometimes we talk about metalcore, not a lot though, mostly pop culture because I love it. And it's a nice insight into seeing what people like in their everyday lives and things they enjoy and they care about. And yeah, I love doing it. And if you're watching now on Twitch, if you're not following the Twitch channel, or you can support by subscribing to the Twitch channel, that helps a lot. That is going to go towards improving the podcast more and more. And if you are listening to this after the fact on podcast, YouTube, whatever, subscribe there, leave reviews, hit the like button, comment, all of that good stuff. It all helps. And that stuff's all free. It's free.
Yeah.
Besides subscribing.
And the more, you know, if we can get Sean, you know, astronomical numbers on the show, I promise I'll never come back, everyone. So that should be some motivation.
That's not true.
Sean,
he'll come back.
Sean, I'm trying to help you. Yeah, I know. I'm like Emperor Palpatine, you know?
Yeah, he's never gone. There's a clone.
I just don't fucking go away. I might as well just be fucking Darth Plagueis over here. You know what I mean?
True. I mean, even he died, though. I guess. I don't know.
Eventually. Maybe. We don't know.
We've never seen him in canon, so I don't know.
Damn, is my camera coming through at the right quality? I feel like I look like poop.
No, you look good to me. You look good to me.
Oh no, yeah, it's okay. I don't know. Maybe my lighting's too bright. Let me turn it down. A little clicker. Oh, whoops! Little clicker. Oh,
that's a lot. That's a lot. You took it down.
Oh, after hours with Joel Cupcake.
Oh God, do not ASMR. We had enough of you chewing in the camera the other week.
Hey, at least it was only in the camera, and I kept it muted most of the time. Okay.
Most of the time. But we're going to start this episode off with a little bit of talk, as Joel previewed a little bit. We're going to talk about family, Fast and Furious franchise. So the week I saw it a week ago in theaters, and I rewatched almost every Fast and Furious movie beforehand. The only ones I didn't watch were Fast 5 and Hobbs and Shaw. I saw Hobbs and Shaw a couple months ago, so I didn't really feel like I needed to rewatch that. That was pretty fresh.
Well, I don't think that'll have anything to do anyways.
It did, but a very small part. I'm not going to reveal what it is, but not really. It didn't have anything to really do with it. So I rewatched it.
I haven't seen the movie yet. I haven't seen the movie yet, so I'm really excited. No, I know. I'm really excited to hear your take because you and I generally like all the same
things. Yeah, and I honestly, I've always enjoyed the Fast franchise. I'm not like a car guy or anything, but I like action movies, and they're, at this point, definitely, they're ridiculous, over-the-top action movies. And so I rewatched all of them. I enjoyed the rewatch a lot. Like, it was awesome. And a bunch of stuff I forgot along the way, other than the naming of their movies, makes zero sense because none of them follow the same pattern whatsoever. You know, like Tokyo Drift is the third movie, but chronologically it's the seventh movie.
Yeah.
Sort of. Even though there's flip phones in Tokyo Drift, and by the time you get to Fast and Furious 6, Ludacris is a fucking professional hacker with like 20,000 screens and holograms. So that doesn't really add up, but I mean, if you're going to look too much into that, I don't really know what to tell you.
Well, I mean, listen, Sean, at this point in time, I watch the Fast movies, the new ones, for three reasons, okay?
Okay.
One is family. Two is
Number one, obviously.
Number one is family, of course. Two is fucking my boy, that homie Luda. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I guess kind of Tyrese too. But like, you know, Tyrese would be way less funny if he didn't have Luda to bounce off of. You know what I mean?
True. Very true.
So the boy Luda, and then like, you know, number three is obviously The Rock, even though I know he's not in this one. You know,
no,
adding him did help the franchise. I know Vin probably hated it.
Completely revitalized the franchise. Completely. Mm-hmm. Completely changed the franchise for the better, in my opinion. So
I agree.
Like I was saying, I really enjoy these movies. They're super fun. At this point, they don't make fucking any sense at all. I don't know if they really ever did, but that's fine. It's not like these are supposed to be based in some sort of reality. Because even I watched the first four with a few of my friends, and the one, he's a big car guy. He has like a modded out Subaru and shit. And he was telling me, because some things I was like, that's not like possible, right? In the beginning movies, like the first one and the second one. And he's no, there's no way. At this point now, all the shit that happens in the new movies, it like throw that shit out the window, man. Like it's like,
oh, brother,
the shit they do is
and Hobbs crazy. and Hobbs and Shaw when they have the fucking cars all like grappling hooked together to the chopper, and they're like trying to pull the chopper out of the sky. I was like, come on, Dwayne, you had me until that moment. Like the Road Warrior shit, like I was okay with, you know what I mean? Like the ludicrous, like fucking weapons and Roman Reigns also being a badass. I was with it, you know, flamethrowers.
Yeah.
But then that happened and I was like, okay, dude, like, all right.
If you have that outlook, throw it out the window for this next one, because this F9 makes all the rest of the Fast movies seem plausible. That's how fucking crazy it is.
That's so tight. I'm so ready, dude.
Like I not gonna lie, I had so much fun watching it. It's completely ridiculous. It's like a comic book movie on crack. I fully believe that Dom could 1v1 Thanos at this point. That's how strong they make him in these fucking movies. I'm going to say one thing. It happens in the trailer, so it's not that much of a spoiler. You see Ludacris and Tyrese in a car that's about to go to space. They go to fucking space. Okay. And they can drive the car in space. The steering wheel works in space. And listen, the best part, Ludacris is like, we just got to follow the laws of physics.
Listen.
And at that moment, I was like, all right. Okay. Okay.
I'm just going to say it, man. I'm just going to say it, Sean. Like, I'm hearing some disappointment in your voice. But like,
hold on.
Let me finish my statement. If anybody could make a car fly in space, it would be Ludacris. Like, let's be honest. Like, you know what I mean?
No spoilers, but it's actually not Ludacris.
That's not the point. I'm just, you know, you're circumventing my words, Sean Mott.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, man.
No, I know what you're just saying.
Like, I had a lot of fun with the movie. I'm not going to say it's one of my favorite movies of the year, because it's definitely not. And it's not in my top 10 now. And with all the movies coming out for the rest of the year, it's definitely obviously not going to be in the pantheon of the best movies I've seen. But as far as having fun watching it, I had a fucking blast. Like, such a blast. Compared to the other Fast movies, especially after rewatching most of them, it'd probably be in the lower tier, but I like all of them. It's like Star Wars movies to me. I like all of them. Or MCU movies. I just like other ones better than the others. It's just, yeah. I definitely think The Rock missing kind of hurt it for me, I think. We're both big Rock fans, and the chemistry he brought in was really cool. And
what was there was
also
there,
shown in the trailer? So not as what was that?
I was gonna say, was there an explanation as to why Hobbs wasn't in the movie? Like in the movie?
No, nothing. They don't even mention him. It's like he doesn't exist.
That's fucking weird.
Pretty much. There was so I'm gonna say a few non-spoilery story points. That's probably what brought it down. I know I'm talking about story points in a Fast and Furious movie, which is kind of nonsense, but obviously we see justice for Han. Han is back somehow. The way they explain that is very dumb, like more dumb than ridiculous. They just kind of have this scene and you're like, it's not like the Letty scene where you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Cool.
I don't even remember how Letty came back. Like I need to rewatch that movie.
Dom has had, you know, he got these crazy detective powers where he could be at the scene of the murder and somehow envision the murder.
when you're Riddick and XXX at the same time, you know what I mean? Like,
but then it's later revealed that she didn't get shot by the guy that he ended up killing in the fourth movie or whatever it was. Yeah, it was the fourth movie. In the sixth movie, it's revealed that the explosion just blew her body away, and then Luke Shaw or whatever Luke Evans is. It's not Luke. His real name is Luke. But it's not Deckard. It's the brother. The brother.
Yeah, no, yeah.
He saves Deckard's her. Brother, and,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah. Blah, 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 whatever. With this one, it's just like, it's very weird how they explain it. And kind of the whole thing that starts the movie isn't really brought back. Like the whole thing that starts, because, you know, every Fast and Furious movie, they're, you know, living their best life in some, you know, some place. And then something comes up and they got to bring their team together. It's every fucking Fast and Furious movie since like the fourth one. You know, they've all been that, you know, something brings them together and they have to bring the team back together. So that happens in this movie, of course. But the thing that makes the team get together doesn't really get resolved, which I'm guessing that's going to lead into the last two movies, if I had to guess. That's just me nitpicking, I guess, or looking too much into a Fast and the Furious movie that doesn't really make any sense anyway.
I mean, they've already brought They've already brought like three characters back from death, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's more than that, though. It's just like the whole reason this thing started, they just kind of let go. It's just kind of weird. But John Cena in the movie is awesome. I loved his dynamics with Vin Diesel. That show was really cool. So that's why I hope The Rock comes back, because I want to see all three of them interact. That's what I want. I want that.
How was he as a villain?
He was pretty good, honestly. There's some like flashbacks, which are honestly the acting in that is better than any of the acting in any Fast and Furious movies, which is also hilarious. But yeah, he was a pretty good villain. It's also kind of weird, but makes sense how they explain to you why he's never been brought up. So I know a lot of people kind of complain about it. They're like, oh, the one guy's about family had a brother that nobody knew about. But when they reveal what's happening, or like how it happened, it makes sense why. So they do explain that. So I don't really get that criticism after watching the movie, but it is a good point to bring up when you don't know the context of what happens in the movie. They're like, oh, this guy's all about family and he has a fucking brother the whole time that no one knew about for decades, you know, which is a solid point, but they do explain it. But I mean, that's pretty much it. It's a fun movie. It's not, you know, cinema gold or anything, but it's fun. It was a great movie to see in theaters. Just have fun and just embrace the complete and utter madness and ridiculous that it was.
Exactly. Yeah, listen, like
pretty much what, like, anyone's probably expecting.
Yeah, you know what you're getting when you get Fast and Furious. And the one thing I will say is, like, the movies are always a good watch, always a good time. But also for a movie that, like, a franchise that none of us like take quote unquote seriously, I guess, anymore, you know, dude, the like scene where Brian and Dom drive away from each other at the end of, was that 7 or 6?
Yeah, 7. Don't even talk to me about it. Cause that,
dude, I fucking cried. I bawled, dude. I still bawled.
I cried watching it last time. Week.
Yeah. Like every single time.
I cried watching it last week, man. It's emotional. It really is.
It is. It is. It is.
It's a great emotional scene. And there's even the scene where you think Dom dies like 10 minutes before or whatever. And Brian's the one freaking out about it. And I'm like, that hit for me. Cause you know what happened and you know the scene that's about to come up.
So you knew what was coming. Exactly.
It just, it hit hard. But yeah, that scene is, that's my favorite Fast and Furious movie for sure. That one, then Tokyo Drift. They're like, you know, but because of that moment, that's what makes it number one for me in the Fast.
Side, I don't know the one, is it 6 where like the Rock, like, or they like corkscrew that fucking charger into the top of the fucking parking garage or whatever. Like Dom does like the impossible jump at the end and the Rock's like hanging out of the car and grabs a fucking minigun or something. Like,
oh, completely. No, that's 7.
That is 7. Okay.
That's 7. That is 7. Yep, that's 7. Because he does the thing where he curb stomps the top of the parking garage and it all collapses.
Yes, and then there's like Dom's hanging out the car, grabs the grenades, and then the Rock just shows up just walking down the street with like a minigun that's supposed to be mounted on like a 4-ton vehicle.
Yep.
Love it. Love it.
Exactly. Amazing. Incredible. And he's like, and that's when Reletti's like, did you bring the cavalry? And he goes, woman, I am the cavalry.
Oh, yes. Amazing.
The best line ever.
Another great Rock line. Like,
yeah. Peak Rock line, honestly.
Dude, yeah. That and him saying, him just yelling, finally. You know, those are the, you know, doesn't get too much better than that.
Yeah. Oh, and then another note, box office note, very big deal. It grossed $70 million opening weekend domestically. It grossed over $100 million worldwide. It's already made $400 or $500 million. Because it opened in like China and other international markets like a month ago. So this movie's killing it. It's more of a normal box office for a blockbuster hit, which is a very good sign, especially with Black Widow coming out next weekend. I mean, A Quiet Place Part 2 actually did very, very well, especially for like a horror movie. It's a low-budget horror movie. That movie is murdering it for that. And it was number 2 this weekend, and it's its 5th week of its theatrical run. So it's doing great. For that, Cruella did pretty well, especially with the Disney Plus numbers, because that's pure profit for Disney. Everything they make, and there were some like reports with that, and the money they made, even though it's like less people buying it, they made more money because they get more of the profit from a Disney Plus purchase because it's their own app. They get all of it. With a theater, they get like 60% or something like that of the profit.
Yeah.
So. It's good. It's good to see that movies are still doing well post pandemic. Obviously, the pandemic is still happening, but now that things are quote unquote returning back to normal, things are opening back up 100% and everything like that. It's good. Good to see that, especially with a lot of huge movies coming out soon. Like I said, Black Widow's next week, Suicide Squad's next month, then Shang-Chi, which we're about to talk about in the trailer, Spider-Man, Eternals. Venom 2, and along with all the other movies like Dune in October, Last Night in Soho, the Edgar Wright movie, like there's so much shit coming out. It's very, very exciting. I love movies, so
I love. Yeah, I'm ready to get back. Trina is not caught up on the Fast movies, so I tried to get her to go see 9 with me, and there's no point. So I'm probably gonna go see 9 by myself. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. Actually,
I saw Quiet Place 2, Mark. Part 2 by myself last Friday. It was awesome.
I feel that. Yeah, maybe I'll go see 9 by
myself.
In
the theater by myself.
That's so tight.
There's no one else in the theater.
Get a box of my favorite fucking candy, dude. Movie theater, Bunch of Crunch, dude.
There you go.
Perfect. If you've never had Bunch of Crunch, listeners, you haven't lived.
You have not lived.
Sean, let's go on to our next subject, because I just realized we spent a lot of time talking about family. But that's okay. You want to know why it's okay, Sean? Because you're my family.
It's warranted. Oh, Joel, that's so nice. I love you, buddy. I love you.
Like, in my head, I want to say like you're Ludacris and I'm Tyrese, but like my vanity wants to be like, you know, like you're Brian and I'm Dom, but you'd be Dom and I'd be Ooh. Brian.
Ooh.
You know right. what I mean?
Fair enough.
Or Fair we could enough. Be like we could be we I could like be that. Han we could be Han and the chick he makes out with that dies on the plane. You and I could be the chick and you could be Han.
You mean Wonder Woman?
Yes. I forget her name in the I forget her name in the movie, like the character's name.
Actually, the most unrealistic part of any Fast and Furious movies is the fact that Vin Diesel turned down Gal Gadot. That's by far the most unrealistic thing of anything.
I
not cars flying, not going to space. That number one.
It's actually funny because I rewatched one of the movies the other night. I forget which one. I think it's the first one she appears in. And I was like, I never put it together in my head that like Gal Gadot was the Fast and the Furious chick. Like I know it, but like, I think in my brain, like in my memory, I never like put it two and two together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she's only in three movies that she dies, but I would not hold out that they bite the bullet, pay some money, and get her in one of the last two, and she comes back to life.
Or even no one dies for a flashback. Oh, dude, the last two movies though, it's gonna be like a reunion. Like if The Rock, the final film, it'll be like The Rock and Vin, and they'll probably do like hologram Paul Walker.
Dude, everyone was in this movie besides
The Rock,
besides Hobbs and Shaw, like everyone.
Well, and Gal Gadot, yes.
Well, yeah, but she's dead for now. For now, she's dead.
For all yeah, but like Fast and the Furious is just like wrestling. Dead does not mean dead.
Or comic books. Dead does not mean dead. Oh, God.
Let's not even go there.
I mean, that's a fact. No one dies in comics. They all come back.
You're right.
All right, but yeah, we're going to get to our second topic, the Shang-Chi trailer. It was the second trailer. I guess it's reportedly the final trailer. At least that's what Kevin Feige said, or other.
I've only seen two. Was there three? There's just two.
There's only been two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, continue. Sorry.
I mean, they don't really need any other ones. Because my only worry, this trailer had me stoked. This first trailer had me stoked. I was like, fuck. I was stoked when they announced this. It's not like I know a ton about Shang-Chi. I don't. I just know he's the best martial artist ever. That's really all I know about it. They've changed it so the Mandarin is his dad, which is different from the comics, which makes way more sense because his dad in the comics is extremely racist looking back at it now. So that's dope. And obviously, they're bringing back the Ten Rings from Iron Man 1, and they were sprinkled in a couple other properties throughout the years. But I was stoked from the movie from the start. But this trailer had me more stoked. My only worry is that I hope they didn't show too much. Because in this trailer, they show the dragon, which could be Fin Fang Foom. I guess Simu Liu said it wasn't Fin Fang Foom, and there was already a pop out. So a lot of people are like, oh, big spoiler showing the dragon. And obviously, Sam is a major Hot Topic. The Shang-Chi pops came out, the first trailer came out, so like almost 2 months ago. And they had a giant dragon pop, and but it's called the Great Protector. So I don't know if they're just not going to use the name Fing Fang Foom, or they are, and they're trying to misdirect us for some reason. But that was a big, big reveal that probably could have waited for the movie. And then obviously the stinger at the end showed, which confirmed by Kevin Feige, was Abomination versus Wong. Wong, the sorcerer from Doctor Strange, Infinity War, Endgame.
Yeah.
He is fighting Abomination.
What is he doing fighting Abomination in some mystical fighting ring?
Well, yeah, so in the comics, there's this big tournament. I don't know what the tournament is going to be for, but the tournament. So there's also these scenes that show in this movie. There's like this weird portal looking thing. And then it seems like Shang-Chi travels and is fighting his dad in this almost, it looks like an ancient time with like live foo dogs and shit like that. And it seems like there's a war between like him and his dad in like an ancient time setting. And some people are theorizing that this portal leads to this ancient time, if it's like time travel, another dimension, whatever. Obviously none of us know. But this tournament could be to access this portal for some kind of other power that kind of leads to this, something like that. So Abomination could be fighting for Thunderbolt Ross. He was already announced that he's going to be in the She-Hulk show. So this was a pleasant surprise to know that he was going to be in this movie like crazy. And, you know, the trailer dropped and everyone's like, oh, is that Wong? And everyone was kind of like, ah, it's probably not Wong, but it's someone who obviously uses the mystic arts. So that's cool. And then Kevin Feige came on and confirmed, nope, that is Wong. So they're probably fighting for whatever this is too. So I'm just wondering, was that too big of a reveal? Or is there crazier reveals that are going to be in this tournament? Like, I've told you, I want Finn Jones to show up as Iron Fist. That'd be fucking sick. I would love it. And then that would be a big kind of preview to be like, oh, then Charlie Cox probably is in the Spider-Man movie. And
oh no, you know, he's in that movie. I'm not having any slander. He's in. I need Charlie Cox's Daredevil more in my life. So it's happening, Sean. We're not. I'm not having an if. All right. Like that's the one rumor. I'm full steam ahead. And if he's not in the movie, I want my money back. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I want it too. I want it. He was amazing. The Daredevil series is perfection. I mean, the big rumor is that he's going to be playing Matt Murdock in the movie and not Daredevil. But still, that still means, hey, he's in the fucking MCU. He's coming back.
Just that alone.
That's all I need. That's all I need. So what did you think of this trailer? Are you stoked for this movie? What are your thoughts?
So I know nothing about Shang-Chi. I just know, like you said, he's the best martial artist in the Marvel universe, you know? Which I think is weird because you would think that was Iron Fist, but I know that his powers greatly vary. I'm not familiar with there ever being a Ten Rings mention in any of the prior movies. I just recognize the logo from Iron Man 3, you know? That was 3 with the Mandarin.
And 1.
Mandarin.
Well, yeah.
What was it in 1?
The ten rings are the people who kidnapped Tony Stark. It's a branch of the Ten Rings.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited to get this payoff. Like, are we going to get more with like the Mandarin and like are those mentions going to be nodded to? I'm excited to find that out because then it's like
maybe
we're past the 10-year buildup at that point in time. If so, you know, which makes me more pumped. You know, the first trailer got my attention. I will not say I wasn't like, fuck, I have to see this movie after the first trailer. After the second trailer, I completely feel that way. Like I've been very happy with all the Marvel properties, even like the one-off movies where it's just like the character gets introduced and then they're just kind of around. Like I'm okay with that shit. And like, I'm loving all the shows and everything. I'm pumped. I am curious about like, I looked up a little bit of like Marvel Wiki and like some history online and like all this stuff. Cause in the trailer, it looks like at some point in time when they're fighting in like that past setting that you're talking about, like it does look like they each are controlling some of the rings, which I guess is part of it.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like Mjolnir where you have to like be trained and have the willpower to control all 10 at once, kind of like being worthy with the hammer. I feel like, you know, like, and I think in the first trailer that it's like something like you have to prove that you're ready for them or something. That's what his dad keeps saying to him or some shit.
Yep.
So I'm pumped. The Abomination versus Wong thing is tight. You know me, I'm big on like the tie-ins, who appears where, what, why, and how. So like, what is Wong doing there? I love Wong. I thought he was a fucking hilarious character. I think he's awesome. A great, like, I don't want to call him like he's probably the only real sidekick left. But like, I hate calling him that. You know, he's obviously appearing in this movie.
Supporting character.
There you go. Yeah, he's obviously appearing in this movie supposedly without Doctor Strange, which is good. I like that. I love Abomination being back. I love the hopeful appearance of the Thunderbolts as you keep mentioning. You know, like,
yes.
And again, what are they all after? Like, because I feel like Strange and Guardians are both going to be big team ups of characters. But like, what's going to propel the storyline of the whole universe forward? I really think that's going to be this movie. It was fucking, I could already tell it was going to come out tongue twisted. So this movie, and I feel like Ant-Man, like Quantumania, I feel like that movie and this movie are what going to be propels the story of the whole universe forward, not just like one or two characters.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a lot of the movies are going to be doing that in general, because Eternals is probably going to give us some backstory on what created a lot of this shit and why they came out to interfere with the world now. So I think that, and obviously Spider-Man No Way Home is going to affect the universe in a huge, huge way. And then Thor is supposed to be like almost like a Civil War type movie, where it's like almost like an Avengers, like it's like Avengers 4.5 or whatever. So yeah. It almost seems like, besides like Black Widow, because Black Widow is more of kind of like what the series have been. It's like an homage to Scarlett Johansson's character, but it's setting up future characters in the MCU and Yelena Belova and probably Taskmaster, things like that. So yeah, I think most of the movies are probably going to be like the series are going to be pure character development, but some things will affect what's going on, but they're kind of very minimal. Besides Loki, I think Loki is obviously going to have a big impact on the MCU as a whole. But you know, like WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier, it was more of just about the main characters and setting up a few new ones. But in all intents and purposes, it really didn't affect the huge broad spectrum of the MCU.
Yeah,
but yeah, I definitely agree, and I think that's why they revealed so much. And I saw some other people saying that, like, "Hey, this is probably for the people that were like, you know, it's Marvel, I'm going to go see it." But they put out this trailer, and everyone's like, "Oh fuck, I need to go see this more than like, oh, I'll definitely go see it." But to get those people that weren't 100% on board to be like, "Oh fuck yeah, this is going to be dope." Yeah.
Well, and I think the second trailer, was also smart because that actor, the lead actor, is not very well known, but the guy who's playing his dad, everyone knows that guy. Everyone's seen him be a bad.
Yeah. And his mom, Michelle Yeoh, is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huge. Yeah, both of them have been in a lot of both American and international cinema, you know. So I think that's a perfect choice to play the bad dad. You know what I mean? I am really curious how it's going to tie in with like martial arts versus magic versus like, are we going to really, you know, also, you know, my first thought is we see a fucking dragon, I immediately start thinking about Iron Fist, like you said, because that's technically how you beat, you get the Iron Fist is you literally defeat a dragon and you punch him in the heart and the heart's power absorbs into your hand.
Probably a different dragon, but
yeah,
this one's, I mean, comically, it is a different dragon too. So, like the Ten Rings thing, they like you're saying, like they are magic. They're in the comics, they're alien technology that the Mandarin comes upon. And actually, they did belong to Fing Fang Foom, so that could tie in the dragon brought these rings to. Because that's another why people are theorizing that the reason, for one, they made them unrings probably so they didn't get the same kind of look as a gauntlet, you know, like all on your hand and stuff like that. But they also could be like, hey, these were rings on a fucking dragon. And that's why they're armbands on a human being. But it also looks like they form to whatever, whoever puts them on. You know what I mean? They like form fit to the arms or whatever else it goes on. But that's a fun theory. And, you know, obviously we'll find out more when the movie comes out.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm stoked. I was way more stoked on Eternals. And like that announcement was like tight. Like I watched the trailer, but like I said, I'm after the second teaser. Oh, I'm very invested now.
Hey, good. I mean, that's exactly what it was for, and mission accomplished, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
But awesome. So now we're gonna move on to Loki episode 3. I'm gonna try and get through a little faster because so much happened in episode 4. It's a lot. My mind is still like swirling from that episode.
Well, when you posted that your mind melted, I was like, I haven't. None of the Marvel shows have literally made me yell at my TV yet until episode
4. I think all of them have to me.
No, like I mean, like yell, like out loud, like be like angry. Like I punched the couch at a part of episode 4.
Yeah, it's funny because someone brought up a point that episode 4 of every series has been like fucking crazy. Episode 4 of WandaVision is when Wanda saw the fucking Vision corpse that image will forever live in my brain. Episode 4 of Falcon Winter Soldier was when John Walker killed one of the Flag Smashers with the fucking shield, and it was that crazy shot with the blood on the shield.
Yeah.
Episode 4 of Loki, everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a very good point, Mr. Mott.
I was like, yeah, episode 4 we're all fucking crazy. Wow. But yes, episode 3, Lamentous. Whew. Okay, first off, a lot of people said this was filler. No, this episode was not fucking filler. I'm sick of people have been using the term filler and plot holes completely.
Okay, first off, when the series is 6 episodes, you don't get a filler episode. A filler episode is a show like fucking Arrow, or a show like, okay, a perfect example is fucking Smallville.
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars. But like, if you want to go like with a live action show, let's talk Smallville. You know what I mean? You have Smallville. The Smallville formula was, here's 2 episodes about Clark Kent as a teenager becoming Superman and learning life lessons. And every 3rd episode was like, here's him fighting the cheesiest pre-Superman villain he can, with that does nothing for the story. Like, that's a filler episode. Like,
exactly.
A Lamentous episode, that shows you, like, I loved this episode without no spoilers. With it truly shows what Marvel can accomplish. The storytelling, graphic, like, that episode is fucking pretty. Like, it is gorgeous. It is the most gorgeous episode in any of the shows they put out. Like, I will, like, hands down, like, this, that one episode looks better than the entirety of Guardians 2, where you're literally on a fucking living planet. You know what I mean? Like, it was just beautiful. It was like, episode 3, Lamentous, is the one. If somebody was like, oh, well, does the show get sci-fi-y enough? Like, I want to make sure I want to make sure there's, like, some sci-fi elements. If you like sci-fi and you didn't like episode 3, like, sorry for being rude on your show, Sean, but go fuck yourself. Like, that was like a perfect sci-fi and magic episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyways, continue with your recap.
I completely agree. But yeah, like you said, this episode was all character development. And if you didn't get the character development in this episode that people thought was slow or filler, episode 4 would have 0 stakes. We just met Sylvie in episode 2. We didn't even know her name until this episode. We were just like, oh, Loki variant, another Loki. We didn't know shit. Like, this episode made you get to know Sylvie, and you even got to know Loki more, too. So the stakes in episode 4 that happened wouldn't even have mattered. Yeah. And then I saw this article. Now, Facebook articles are popping up on Facebook now. And one article, and it was like, major plot holes in the Disney Plus series. And the one for WandaVision is that Doctor Strange didn't show up. And then the one for Falcon Winter Soldier is that Steve Rogers didn't show up. And guess what? Those aren't plot holes, because they're not holes in the plot. They're just things that you wanted to see that didn't happen. That's not the same thing. A plot hole would be something that takes away from the plot and makes something not make sense. Those are just things that didn't need to happen. You just wanted to happen. And it did. Not the same thing. Anyway, going on to episode 3, Lamentous. It starts off I'm just going to call her Sylvie instead of saying other Loki or the variant Loki, because that's just going to get confusing.
Before you get started, I got to agree with you on this plot hole complaint, dude. The MCU is literally the one property that you should never use that fucking word. Like, they have literally, like, within the last couple weeks, reference shit that happened in, like, Iron Man 1. Like, dude, wait till Armor Wars comes out, because Iron Man started this whole thing, and Armor Wars, from what I'm understanding, is basically War Machine running around trying to clean up all these people that have stolen Tony's technology, which means literally that show is going to nod back to the first part of the property being Iron Man 1. So, like, I don't want to hear about plot, like, no plot holes. If you're in the Metalcore Nerds Facebook group and you say the word plot hole, I'm just going to kick you out of that group, dude. Not, there is not going to be no debate. I'm just going to be like, girl, bye.
Girl, bye.
All right. Sorry. You got me all worked up for a second there, Sean.
All right. Fair enough. Episode 3 starts off with Sylvie and Hunter C20 in a bar having a drink. It is later revealed that this is her playing with her memories, enchanting her to get information out of her. And she goes into this thing with a brain freeze, which it isn't how a brain freeze works. But this whole her being in her mind gave me real Inception vibes. I mean, this whole episode gave me a lot of Inception interweaved in a way.
Yeah.
After that happens, we kind of see the other side of the ending of episode 2. And then we find out that the time door that Sylvie made at the end of episode 2 and that Loki followed her in goes right back to the TVA. We see Sylvie whoop a ton of Minutemen ass, totally destroy all of them. Loki comes in shortly after. He finally gets his daggers back.
Literally, oh, God, yes. I just don't get me started.
It was great. It was awesome. And then we see them kind of fight it out a little bit. He's kind of trying to beg to be like, hey, let's work together. We both want to take down the TVA, so let's just do it together. Renslayer confronts them. Looks like, you know, Sylvie tries to threaten that she's going to kill Loki 2.0. And she's like, I don't care. Do it. And she's about to confront them. And then Loki uses the temp pad to open up a time door. And they go through that. They end up on Lamentis 1. Which Lamentis 1 is in the comics. I don't think this has anything to do with the show. It's just a fun little comic nod. But it's in the outskirts of the Kree Empire, and it's in the prologue of the Annihilation Conquest series, which the Annihilation series, this comes after the whole Annihilation event, which has to do with this crazy fucking bug army called the Phalanx that's led by this villain called Annihilus, which could come in the MCU at some point. It's very possible. And then the Phalanx is actually run in the Annihilation Conquest by Ultron, which is interesting. I'm still hoping that Ultron comes back someday. We'll see. That's just a fun little nod.
Well, he probably runs one of the other multiverses. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, there's probably a multiverse where they didn't beat him.
Oh, I mean, that's definitely possible. I was just kind of hoping that he never really went away in the prime or sacred timeline. I was hoping that he just never really got destroyed and he's just been hiding in the shadows for a while, but we'll see if that ever happens. It's my hope, but we'll see if that ever gets paid off. But the multiverse thing, I mean, of course he could come back. Multiverse. There definitely could be a world where he won. Killed the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely possible. But like I said, it's a very small part of the comic. There's no way it's going to tie into anything of this at all. They fight again in this little like bunker kind of thing, and they find out the temp pad is low on juice, so they need to find a place to charge it. So they work together for now to try and find a way to charge it, because Loki did his little cool hiding illusion, and she tries to enchant Loki. Doesn't seem to work. There are some theories I'm going to get into about that a little later on, which I don't think are true, especially after episode 4, but who knows?
I already know what you're talking about.
He tries to call her Loki. That's when she revealed her name is Sylvie. And, you know, they talk about what makes a Loki a Loki and everything like that.
Which I thought was a hilarious segment, by the way. Like, the little fan service and nods they're doing to, like, other shit that's happened in the other series are fucking... I'm loving it, dude. I'm loving it.
It's great. They find this town. They confront this old lady that has this crazy air cannon. And Loki tries to disguise himself as a husband that she sees a picture of. Doesn't work. Calls them both devils. Obviously means Mephisto is going to be in the series, of course. Mephisto confirmed.
Confirmed.
But then they find out that there's a train leading to the Ark, which the Ark is supposed to take some people off the planet to save them. So they head to the train. Very Snowpiercer, super sci-fi, like you said, this is a perfect sci-fi episode for sure.
It literally,
he gets to the train. Loki disguises himself as one of the train officers. They go to get in the they get to the front of the train. They ask for a ticket. He kind of starts to get whatever. Sylvie enchants him. Cool to see them work together in a kind of accidental way. It was more of a they needed to in order to get on the fucking train.
Yeah.
And they get on the train. They have this awesome conversation in the train. Like, I know everyone, like, again, people call this a filler episode. Again, I don't think it was a filler episode. It's character development. We get to know more about their past, a little bit about Sylvie's past.
Yeah.
Loki shows this awesome firework trick in his hand. He reveals that they both reveal that they're bisexual, which is very cool. Canonically, the first bisexual beings in the MCU, more straight out. I mean, like, one of the Russos had a cameo in Endgame where he said he was seeing another man, but I mean, he's not like a real character in the MCU. It was like a cameo. It's not like that guy's ever going to come back. The Russos have played many small little roles in their movies, so that doesn't really hold a lot of weight. So that's super cool. Fuck yeah. Makes sense. Loki, god of mischief. It's all based in, you know, mythology where, you know, like back in Rome, everyone.
My internet cut out when you were explaining that. Is that correct? Is that accurate in the comics? Is Loki like bisexual or gender fluid in the comics?
I actually don't know, but it would make sense. I think so. I think there's this weird thing that's been going on where he like fucked a horse. So.
Yes, I keep hearing about that. Like, I keep, every time I start looking into like the tie-ins to the series, to the comics, I just seeing this stuff about fucking a horse, and then I stop reading because I'm like, I don't want to go that far down the rabbit hole, you know? Like,
you know, we don't really need to go into that, you know? That's all right, we can leave it alone, but it's cool. Like I said, I don't really remember, but I mean, there is a lot of, you know, LGBTQ characters in like America Chavez, Captain Marvel in some iterations, so on and so forth. It happens. So it was bound to happen in the MCU proper
event. Yeah.
And it has. I agree. So fuck yeah. The director even confirmed it after the episode. Very, very cool. And then she says, like, oh yeah, we better rest, blah, blah, blah. Sylvie then passes out and she wakes up. Another kind of Inception-ish moment of her waking up.
Yes.
And then Loki is singing at the bar. He's back in his TVA gear, singing. Drunk, but he says he's full, which is funny. And then an awesome callback to show number one.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say the full thing is a very, like, spot on, like, Nordic barbarian Viking thing. Yes. Like, yes. Like,
yeah.
I'm full. Like, my mission's accomplished and I'm drinking. You know? Like, I loved it. Okay, sorry. Continue, sir.
And then there's an awesome callback to Thor 1 where he smashes his glass and says another. One of the funniest moments in Thor 1. That was an awesome. As soon as he did that, I was the Leo fucking meme. Be like, ah! Nice. Loved it. And, you know, Sylvie's like, what are you doing? You're causing attention. You're not even in your costume. You're not even in your disguise anymore. Like, we're going to get caught. And then, of course, they get confronted by the officers of the train. There's a big fight. Loki ends up going through the windows, and Sylvie's like, oh, he has the temp pad, so I gotta go out the window too. And then it's revealed that the temp pad is crushed. And then they're like, oh, well, we're fucked. And then Loki says, hey, why don't we go to the Ark, hijack the Ark, get off this fucking planet? I know it's not supposed to happen, but we can make it happen. And then they go, they get to the town, and then there's this awesome, like, one-shot action scene of them trying to get to the Ark. Awesome scene where Loki uses his telekinesis to move this crazy beam. It looked like he rewound time. It was so impressive. And then they get to the Ark and they see it blows the fuck up in front of them. And then boom, episode over.
It was madness, dude.
Yeah, that one shot scene was so dope. Like, so sick.
Yeah,
I loved that scene.
Like, just that whole of them running through the city. And dude, yes. like you said, when he stops that beam from falling, whatever the fuck it was, just seeing him, like, throw his head back and whip his hair, and he just does it, like, with the sheer force of will. Like, he doesn't need a wand or, you know, like his magic. Like, you always just see him doing little things with his hands for his magic. But he just straight up was like, boom, use the power. Like, we talked about that in I think it was the pre-show for this. Like, I'm just so excited to see him being a fucking badass more. Like, and using his magic, like, because we've only really seen Doctor Strange's magic till now, and it's barely been showcased because he's only really had one movie and then a side appearance. Well, Wanda, I mean, she controls the fucking universe. You know what I mean? Like, I put her on the level as the Phoenix Force, and like, no one else in around except for maybe Captain Marvel has that much power right now. So that's why I didn't really mention Wanda. But yes, you're right.
Another big thing that I kind of glossed over while they're walking to the town to do the arc, Loki tries to find out more about her enchantment and everything like that, how it works. And then she reveals that she actually does an illusion with her past memories. And then it's revealed that everyone in the TVA is a variant. None of them are created by the Timekeepers. They're all variants. Huge, huge reveal for one. Also, we were right. The TVA was a sham. Pretty much everyone called that. So it's not like it was just us. But TVA is a fucking sham. But the episode leaves off. But the big theory was that, like, when Sylvie woke up from the train, like, was this all an illusion? Did Sylvie actually enchant Loki? Is this all kind of a vision? With what happens in episode 4, I would think not. Because it'd be very weird for everything to happen these last few episodes and be like, it was an illusion the whole time. It would be kind of dumb.
See, I thought, I heard all those rumors and I thought it was the opposite. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be, sorry, someone is, let me just fucking look at this fucking message because they will not leave me alone. Okay, never mind. It's good. I thought it was going to be, everyone said, oh, she enchanted Loki. I thought the whole time Loki was fucking with her to really show that he's the superior one. I also thought that maybe the temp pad wasn't actually destroyed. Like, I thought he was going to illusion that so that he could get information out of her.
Yep. That was the
which
one
I know I you thought that as
I thought,
well.
I thought, yeah, I thought, oh, the temp pad isn't actually broken. And that's how they'll get off the planet in the next episode, which is that didn't happen, but but then other people were like, oh, what if, you know, he caused an illusion ever since she woke up, you know, like she woke up and it's kind of like an Inception kind of thing where you wake up and it seems familiar but it's really not happening, which I was like, ooh, I think you're on, like when people were saying, I was like, well, I think you might be onto something there. I just thought maybe the tempad thing was just an illusion, but that's, I mean, I like that theory, it's fun. But again, I mean, if any of any theories or ideas I come up with, I don't care if they're wrong. It's just like WandaVision. I don't care. It's just fun to think of these things.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I like having those conversations of like, oh, what do you think is going to happen? Oh, this. So I was like, oh, cool. I think this might happen. And they're like, that would be fucking crazy.
And I love that these shows are crazy enough that we all have these crazy different ideas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love the conversation they produce. It's honestly been such a cool thing to have over these last months.
I agree. But
this rolls right into episode 4. It starts off in Asgard. And I have to say, the score for the show has been awesome. But the score in this episode in particular.
Yes.
Wow. It added so much to the drama, to the tension. Like, it was amazing. It's so incredible. But it starts off in Asgard, which is just how Asgard, I was like, oh, what is this going to be? But then it's revealed that it is young Sylvie. And it's when she got captured by the TVA. She was playing with two, like, little toys. And she kept saying, like, oh, the Valkyrie wins. And I thought that was really awesome. And the actress that plays young Sylvie also plays Judith, Rick's daughter in The Walking Dead, which I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh, that's why she looked familiar. Okay.
Yes, that's why, too. I was like, oh, fuck. I just binged, like, half The Walking Dead months ago. So it's right there. But then you see the little child Sylvie go through all the stuff that Loki went through in episode 1, getting in the prisoner outfit, having to go through the robot fucking detector, signing what she said and all that things, Then she goes for her trial. And it's also that Ravonna Renslayer was a hunter or a Minuteman back in the day. I mean, this had to have been decades ago. You know, she was a kid. And now she has to be like in her 30s or 40s or whatever. Which actually, since she's a demigod, she could, this could have happened thousands of years ago.
Yeah, we don't know how long she's been fighting the TVA. We literally don't.
It could have been like seriously like thousands of years.
Yeah.
But so Renslayer's hunter number is A23, which probably corresponds to Avengers 23, which is the first comic appearance of Ravonna Renslayer. But also, guess who's involved in that comic issue?
Kang the Conqueror.
You guess it. Kang. But this episode is called The Nexus Event, and it's very properly titled, as anyone would probably imagine.
And as you and I discussed, and you discussed on another one of your series, the Nexus stuff was advertised on WandaVision as one one of the commercials. So it really is all adding up and tying in, baby. So, oh, looks like we lost Sean, everyone. I don't know what happened. He'll be right back. There he is.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what happened there. That was weird.
It's all right. I literally took over your.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, literally. Oh. I enchanted you to be gone.
Wow, that was crazy. All right.
I literally went like this. Wiggly wiggly wah upset your head, and then you know, you left the stream, dude. I don't know.
It's fucked up, man. That's fucked up. But yes, like you were saying, Wanda is a Nexus being because she can rewrite reality. And that's what these Nexus beings are, rewriting a former reality. That's why it creates the branch. There's a lot more to get into with that stuff coming up. Renslayer visits the Timekeepers, which we see them kind of silhouetted in the background. And when we saw that, I was like, oh, shit. And I thought that was the only time we saw any glimpse of them in this episode.
Yeah,
definitely thought that was all we're going to get. She comes back down, talks to Mobius, says, hey, we need to find these variants. Like, it's got to fucking happen.
Yeah.
He wants access to C20. She says, she's dead. Can't talk to her. She's dead. She's gone. Then we go back to Loki and Sylvie. They're kind of accepting their impending doom. Sylvie asks, you think what makes Loki a Loki that we always lose? And then Loki reveals, hey, I mean, we may lose, but we survive. We never die. Which was a very, like, I love the dialogue between these two. Like, you instantly fall in love with the characters in the show. Even in a lot of these shows, these characters we've barely even seen. They've had barely any screen time. And you instantly fall in love with them. It's incredible how they do this. And they're like, again, like you said in the last episode, it's the same thing. This looks absolutely mind-blowingly insane. We see the rocks falling, even as they're talking, just little ones flying by. We see, like, the huge apocalypse about to start and the blowing up. They hold hands. They start, like, you know, it seems like they have this real connection. And this connection creates a insane red line that goes towards becoming a complete Nexus event more than any ones we've seen in the series. It seems like many of the TVA has seen in anything. And so, like, boom, they know where they are.
Yeah, like, for those of you that might remember, like, they have that monitor that shows the timeline. It, like, creeps up at, like, a slow, like, maybe 45-degree angle. When they touch hands, it literally just shoots, like, straight up towards the red line of, like, impending destruction or whatever the fucking thing they called it was, you know?
Yeah. And, oh, Isaiah said Loki took over the stream for a second.
Oh, I did.
Joel Loki. Up to no good as always.
Literally, always up to no good. Literally, that is
himself.
Yep, that's me.
But they go and find. Obviously, the Nexus event starts easily. How they can find them, which is crazy, because they even revealed earlier episodes that that's how she can hide and not create, you know, mm-hmm. like a Nexus reaction for them to find her is that in these apocalypse. So even more than it's going straight up, it's that it's happening during the apocalypse started. It's even crazier. So they go and capture them. Another thing I did want to bring up, which very few people have brought up, but like we saw in episode 2 when she bombed the timeline, when we saw the timeline with the Nexus thing starting, it looked like everything was fine. Like, they just fix it all? Or...
So I have a theory
on that. What's going on with that?
I have a theory on that, but we can't talk about it to the end of the episode.
Okay, fair. Very fair. So they come back, they get imprisoned in the TVA, they split them up. Makes perfect sense. Mobius brings Loki into a time theater. You know, he's obviously betrayed by Loki. He was trying to help him be his friend. And then Loki says, hey, the TVA is lying to you. Mobius is like, yeah, sure, whatever. You've lied to me before. No way I'm going to believe you. And they bring him through this red time door, which they call time cells later on. And then we see that Loki's back on Asgard. And then awesome fucking cameo of this episode. Lady Sif is back.
Thank God. I was so mad she wasn't in Thor 3.
Ragnarok? Yeah.
She wasn't in Ragnarok. She's rumored honestly, to be in... Oh, go ahead.
I would say she's rumored to be in Love and Thunder. But
I read today that she is confirmed for that. She couldn't do Ragnarok because of scheduling issues, is the article I read. Mm-hmm. I was bummed she hasn't been around because, like, you know, all these people, I feel like, kind of have what did you say? Like support heroes, you know, like what did we call Wong earlier? Not a sidekick, but like an auxiliary player, you know, like the Falcon started as an auxiliary player in Captain America, you know? Yeah. You know, like Wanda and Vision are each other's like supporting characters, you know, Widow and Hawkeye and the Budapest situation, you know? And so Sif is Thor's one. Like I'm mad that we never got to see badass fighting Heimdall. I wanted it, like, from the beginning when they cast Idris, he has the fucking sword and that sick helmet. I was like, I want to see him just like striking down Asgard's invaders. Oh, yeah. We never got it, but I would love to see Lady Sif fucking she should have been fighting with the Avengers in one of the fucking movies, you know? Like, it would have been great to see her show up with Valkyrie in Endgame, you know, at the end when she flies through the portal, you know, but we didn't.
I agree. And I'm guessing they'll probably explain where she's been. Yeah. I'm guessing probably. She also
She got banished by Loki, I believe is the storyline they're trying to convince everyone of.
After Dark World.
Yes. Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so I read a lot of the recap stuff I read is that Screen Rant website. Like, they're not always correct. I just like their writing. I like the writing style, like the way that they actually like. But I know that you can't take them word for word. But the article I read was that they reminded us that she was banished when Loki was faking being Odin.
That makes sense.
Wasn't around. It's kind of lame, like, because that would be a pretty easy storyline fix. But if the actress wasn't available to do Ragnarok, it makes sense to just not bring it up, you know?
Yeah, of course. Going on past this, he's stuck in a time loop with Lady Sif, punching him in the balls in the face. That would suck. Mobius is back with Ravonna. And it seems like they're signing to be like, oh, hey, you know, case isn't closed yet. He talks about how they brought in Kree, Titans, and vampires. I did not think the show would subtly sort of introduce Blade and Morbius into the MCU, but I'm here for it.
Like, I was literally about to say that. Like, when they said that, I immediately thought, like, Blade, Morbius, something like that. You know, maybe we're going to get... I would love to see, like, Wesley Snipes appear in Blade in some fashion, whether it's a multiverse, whether... You know what I mean? Like, I would love it. Yeah, I recently rewatched... Did I tell you I rewatched the Blade Trinity, like, literally all three of them the other night?
Fuck yeah. Those movies still fucking rule. I like all of them.
You know what I? You know what else I learned today?
I don't care.
You know what else I learned today, Sean? Actually, I watched. There's a doc on Netflix about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe because it's being remade. Yeah. The person who taught Dolph Lundgren how to sword fight for the He-Man movie is the same person that taught Wesley Snipes how to sword fight in Blade.
That's tight.
That's like in the interview, the guy's like, I had just started like teaching the guys on Blade how to do this, and I got called to do this in between. And so he like taught Dolph Lundgren how to fucking sword fight, dude.
Fuck yeah. That's tight.
Very off subject. Well, Sorry.
No, that's cool. Yeah. That's a cool little bit. I like that. Hunter B15 seems very distraught after what happened to her in episode 2. Kind of asks, like, oh, hey, have you heard about C20? Mobius denies that he has, even though he learned that she died. After, you know, Loki getting punched in the balls and him pleading and sort of getting through to Sif in a bit, saying like, hey, I just do it because I'm afraid of being alone. That's why I do this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then she just goes, like she said, like times in before, like, well, you are alone and you're always going to be alone. Yeah. Morbius comes through. He's like, hey, you ready to talk? Loki kind of tries to make up this thing that like, oh yeah, me and Sylvie have been working together this whole time. I'm the whole reason that all of this happened. We've been in cahoots, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she's the mean to end. Once this is over, I was going to get rid of her. And then Morbius is like, oh, well, good. We pruned her. And then you see his face like, what? You did what? Like, he tries to play it off, be like, yeah, good. Did me a favor, blah, blah, blah. And then you see he's upset. Mobius puts it together that Loki loving himself as another version of himself is what caused this crazy Nexus event. He's like, that would definitely break reality. He's breaking my reality right now, which, again, Nexus is maybe these Lokis together are Nexus beings. Obviously, if they can do something like that, like.
So it's funny because I sat there and when I watched Lamentis episode 3 at the end, like, there was like a way Tom Hiddleston looked at Sylvie, or sorry, there's a way Loki looked at Sylvie. And I was like, nah. And then into the episode, they were kind of like together. And then I was like, he's not going to fall in love with himself. Marvel's not going to let this get that weird. I was like, there's no way. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, they're not going to have Loki sleep with Loki, you know? I don't think the shagging will happen per se, but I understand that, like, you know, they explained when Owen Wilson was like, or sorry, when Mobius was like, yeah, like you have feelings in your own like sick, twisted, narcissistic way. I was like, oh my God, they're actually doing it. Like as it was happening, I was like, what? I was right. Oh God.
Yeah. Wild. So wild. Also, before this, when I was talking about the B15 stuff, Mobius also said, like, oh, what did Loki say? He's like, oh, to me, what? She's like, there's something more to what happened to me, blah, blah, blah. And then B15 goes to Sylvie and goes, you need to come with me, opens up a time door.
Which I did not expect that twist.
Then, paperwork. No, that was cool. That was cool. No, I was just saying that was cool. Mobius is finishing his paperwork with Ravonna. Case closed. We're going to, you know, she even said, like, oh, the Tyrians. It's like, oh, wow, I get to meet him. But you can see he's skeptical. He's a little skeptical. He has Sylvie's sword. And she's like, oh, where are you going to put this trophy? She goes to put it up. He switches the tempads. And after that, he makes some excuse like, oh, I'm so tired. It's crazy. And then he goes to the library. And then he watches some footage on the C20 thing saying like, hey, I had a life before this, blah, blah, blah. And then you see that Renslayer knew about this and that, you know, they all are variants.
Yeah, Loki at Loki the same wasn't time, lying.
B15. No. He wasn't. At the same time, B15 is with Sylvie back in the Rockstar because she can't use her magic in the TVA. And then she, did you brainwash me, whatever? And she's like, no, I cannot put thoughts in your head. I can only use what's already in your head. And then she's like, show me. She shows her memories. And I think the real rejects, I watch their reactions to these shows. They're awesome. If you don't check them, they're hilarious. And they said, like, in the acting of the moment, you didn't even need the flashback because you see it in her face. Like, oh, wow. You know, she even says, like, I looked like I was happy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so
then you kind of see, okay, it's about to get real.
Yeah, so it's...
No, go on. What I want...
So, like, there's a reason. Like, so, like, when it comes to wrestling, I love Chris Jericho and The Rock for two reasons.
The GOAT.
Well, they're the GOAT, but like their facial expressions, the way they sell and tell a story just by looking at this part of their body. Okay. And if you look at like this 10-minute span of episode 4, like when they tell Loki that they prune Sylvie and then her getting her memories unlocked and realizing what's going on, like this is technically a show. It's not a movie. And like the amount of mm-hmm. like emotion that like they were able to bring out of these actors and actresses are fucking incredible, dude. Like Tom Hiddleston's range, I will never, ever, ever, ever doubt again. You know, like I don't think I ever doubted it in the first place. I just didn't really know who he was before Loki. But you know, like just like the way like I'm so invested in this series, dude. It's crazy.
Oh, same. Completely and utterly the series. Now we're kind of like, oh, like we thought, TVA, they're the real villain here, 100%. Or whoever, not the TVA itself, but whoever created the TVA, they're the real villain. Mobius goes back to Loki, says, hey, are you sure, you know, like, Sylvie wasn't fucking with C20? He's like, no, like, you guys are all variants. Like the TVA is in the wrong here. Like you guys are trapped here. Took out of your own lives. Like whatever. And then he's like, well, I'm going to help you. You need to trust me. And he's like, okay, I trust you. He calls him a friend. They go back through the time door. Renslayer's right there. Says, you have something of mine. And then he calls back to what they were talking about earlier. Like, hey, if you could go to any place and talk about, said, I'm my old life and live out that. How about that? And then they fucking prune Mobius. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
So I punched the couch. That's the moment I punched the couch, dude. I was like, what? Because you're like, okay, emotional, okay, confrontations, okay, this, okay, she's with Sylvie. Maybe Sylvie's going to break in the door and save them right now. And she just fucking prunes him. Like, dude, that is like your like, you know what I mean? Like, that is like, I don't even want to call him the supporting actor. Like, him and Loki are both the main characters of this main show, as far as I'm concerned. And for that was it. Like, he didn't even get like a heroic send off. It was just like, I called Loki my friend, and then I got pruned. Like, fuck, dude. Like, you know what, dude? I hope he's up there in the sky with fucking Paul Walker, baby. That's all I got to say. You know what I mean? Because he deserves like a fucking a tearful send off, and that's what he got, dude.
For sure, 100%. I cannot believe this happened. Loki and Sylvie are both brought before the Timekeepers. Ravonna, noticed Sylvie's hair is wet. She said, who was with her last? They said B-15. They say everyone be on the lookout for B-15. She's kind of realized that she probably knows what the fuck is up now, too. And then as they get to the elevator, Ravonna takes them up by herself. Sylvie brings up, hey, why? What was my Nexus event? Like, what brought me here? And then in the biggest fucking villain-ass role, she just goes, I don't even remember. Whew. Rough. Real.
Dude,
real rough.
I was actually kind of, excuse me. I was actually kind of mad about that. And it is very rough. I do think it'll harken back to that. Like, I do think that'll come. That question will be answered, is what I'm thinking.
I have some thoughts about it, but we'll get to it at the end. I really don't want to talk about it until we get through all of it.
Yeah, keep going.
And they're brought before the Timekeepers. like I said, I did not think we would go back to the timekeepers. And I will say, as soon as I saw these motherfuckers close up, I was like, these motherfuckers are fake. That's exactly what I said. I was like, there's no way they're real. A lot of people, we'll get to my point about that after we go on this little more. When seeing the timekeepers come up, it looks like they're the Loki and Sylvie are trying to like argue with them, but you know, they have the time collars around them. Ravonna just keeps time twisting them back, and then B-15 to the rescue for all time, always releases the time collars, throws Sylvie a sword. There's a big fucking brawl. Them fighting a bunch of Minutemen, they fight them all off, and she even takes down Ravonna, and then you know, the timekeepers kind of try to bargain with Sylvie in a way and like, fuck this, throws her sword, decapitates one of them, and it's revealed they were fucking robots.
Which was like the most badass scene when she's just like, nope, bye. I was like, oh, I was like, how is this going to work?
You straight know up, last Jedi.
Yeah.
Straight up, last Jedi Snowflake. And then, you know, it's Wizard of Oz kind of thing. Like, there's a man behind the curtain. The timekeepers were a big ploy, you know, big front. But my point in the CGI, because the CGI obviously looked kind of weird, but I think it was purposely to add to the reveal or to kind of show you or, like, foreshadow the reveal. Because a lot of people are like, oh, they must have ran out of money with the CGI with the timekeepers and stuff. And I'm like, this is Disney. This is Marvel.
Dude. Yeah, so money my point
option here.
My point that I was going to say when you
like,
brought
money
up,
is how not they, a thing here.
Yeah, when you said how they looked, listen, nothing in the MCU has been done by accident, I don't think, other than the Incredible Hulk movie. You know what I mean? Like, well, with Edward Norton.
Some of the beginning weren't accidents, but they were like just set and they hit later because they were able to. But yes, exactly.
So the reason the timekeepers look like shit is all you have to keep in mind. Tom Hiddleston is also an executive producer on the show. So what does that mean? Okay. He's going to make sure the comments and jokes make sense and look right. Dude, Loki called them space lizards. They fucking look like cheap space lizards. So it makes sense.
They were
they fucking were shitty space lizards, dude. Like, which is exactly what Loki said they were. Like, I'm just saying, dude. Yeah. I am just saying, like, hit nail on the head.
No, you're just adding to my point for sure. Because it's like,
yeah,
people are like, oh, they must have ran out of money with the last episode. And I was like, no, that should prove you that money is no option and it doesn't matter. Fucking Vision, Space, and WandaVision was all not a fucking option.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like the highest grossing franchise of all time. Like, it doesn't, they did it on purpose. It was done very purposely, believe me. Thanos looks fucking real. Like, it was on purpose. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
After the timekeeper gets decapitated and they're like, we thought this was it. What the fuck? Who is really behind the TVA? And then Loki is about to like confess his feelings possibly to Sylvie, but more so explain that like, hey, our connection can break reality. It can cause this. This is why it's because crazy. But, and as
wait,
that
I
happens,
got it. I got
even
it.
More
I got
surprising,
it. I got
Loki's
it,
getting crooned.
Hold on, Sean. I got
Loki.
It. I was going to say their love can cause prime chaos. On the prime timeline. Sorry.
Oh,
sorry,
my
I'm
God.
Done. I'm
Here
done.
We
I'm
go.
Done.
Here we go. Here we go. But Ravani prunes fucking Loki in a... As soon as that happened, a couple people told me there was an after-credit scene, so I already knew there was going to be one.
Same.
But I kind of forgot about it watching the episode because so much shit happened. I was like, holy fuck. I was like, Loki just got fucking pruned. When that happened, I was like, there's no way he's dead or erased. I was like, oh, there must be a different like dimension or place that pruned people go to or something. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought that earlier on. I definitely didn't say it aloud, but I kind of thought it. I was like, I highly doubt all these people are just erased. And especially when they revealed that everyone who works at the TVA as a variant, I was like, they could have said they got pruned and then they just brought him in with their mind erase or whatever. And then, so I kind of forgot about it. I felt like tense without even, like, I just turned off Disney Plus, and then I was like, oh, fuck, there's an after credit scene. Like, I was even talking to my friend, like, oh, there must be a place where they go, and he has seen it, and he's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Like, And I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh, fuck, there's an after credit scene. So then I watched the credits on the after credit scene. He said he's in hell. Is he dead? And then we hear Richard Dean Grant's voice, which he has been confirmed to be in this. A lot of people thought he could have been He Without a Name or whatever, the man at the end of time who created the TVA, or he could have been like the big villain, whatever. Nope. He is a fucking another Loki variant. He turns around, he sees Richard E. Grant as the classic Loki, kid Loki, someone who is credited as boastful Loki, who seems to have some sort of hammer that could be Mjolnir.
Yeah.
We'll sing to Mjolnir. And fucking alligator Loki. What? Crazy.
Crazy.
Insane. So where they are, it seems like New York City. You see Avengers Tower in the back, all fucked up. Obviously, we're going to see more of this in episode 5. You know, what this all is. It's probably where we're going to see President Loki. I'm guessing this is where all the people who get pruned go until the TVA has something to do with them. This does bode a ton of questions to who's really behind the TVA. Obviously, we're probably both on the Kang train, as we should. Kang train, choo-choo. Still on it. Hardcore. But it's still like, oh, is this like you said in episode 1? Are they in the quantum realm? Where is the fucking TVA? How do they still have this power? Like, what are they really trying to do? They've kind of proved that there is a multiverse, especially with the Sylvie thing. Like you said, like, what was her fucking Nexus event? Like, it seemed like she was just playing with some toys and they came in and snatched her up. Like,
yeah. Well,
it's obvious that Lokis are very big threat to whoever built TVA for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so here's my theory. We're not going to talk about Kang. We're not going to talk about Kang right now. I'm going to let you talk about the villain of the series. I'm talking about Sylvie. It still has not been revealed her purpose and her end goal and what she was trying to do. Now, something you alluded to at the beginning of this episode and something I wanted to bring up is what happened to the timeline she bombed when all the little branches started. I think that she is jealous because she's still a Loki. She is not vengeful. She is jealous. I think which is probably something you expect, which is why I wanted to go first, because, you know, I want to influence what you might possibly say. I think she bombed all the timelines of all the fucking Lokis. So she's trying to erase all the Lokis. She's jealous because they all got to live their lives and she didn't. So I think she bombed all the Loki points of access to try to, because there, and remember, she hates being called Loki. There's still a reason for that we haven't been told. So I think she's also like, because I don't think we're seeing Sylvie after this, you know. I think this series is the end of her, you know. Maybe she appears in Love and Thunder, maybe, but like, you know, unless she does take the mantle of the Enchantress, and then she still will be around in the cosmic bullshit. But that's a whole other discussion for another time. I think when he says, well, you're going to be if you don't come with me, you know, we saw, like you said, all the trailers had President Loki in them. I think that maybe they are taking a nod from the comics. And would you say he was like the man at the end of time or whatever? Like, I think maybe this whole thing is a Loki got too powerful and figured all this out. So maybe there's one Loki trying to destroy the rest of the Lokis. Maybe they're all just trying to protect themselves from Sylvie. Like, I haven't really formulated my whole option, but I think she bombed their timelines and they're all there, displaced in time. Or reality or the multiverse.
That's a pretty good... The whole Loki thing is a popular theory that everyone in the TVA is a variant of Loki, which I think is a little too much. But the fact that the one who created the TVA could have been another variant of Loki, thing to protect them against.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the whole Sylvie wouldn't make sense because it was like the TVA was already a thing before Sylvie came along and they just went to get her, you know? But it could be a Loki and not Kang. It could be someone completely new too. Maybe. I don't really know.
I actually, you know, I wasn't going to say this on the show.
I hope they explain
why what?
What were you saying?
No, I want to let you finish your thought. I didn't want to say this on the show because I want to see if I'm going to be right or not. I think Owen Wilson is a fucking variant of Thor, and that's why they're so close. That's why they connect so easily. Owen Wilson is Thor, or he's a frost giant, or like there's some connection, like. Of whoever Owen is a variant of, because I still really truly believe that my buddy was partially right that we talked about on the first episode where he goes like, when he tells Thor like, oh, I'll see you when the sun shines on us both again, brother. Like that line means something. You know what I mean? When Loki said it in Endgame. So I'm hoping, you know, maybe there's some correlation.
I just think he's going to see Thor later on, like not in Thor Love and Thunder, but like later on. And it's going to be like a very, very big moment when we see Loki 2.0. It's sort of different, but Loki knows what happened. But obviously for Thor, that would be like huge, being like, how the fuck are you still alive? Which has happened to Thor multiple times now. He's seen Loki die like
four times.
Only one was real.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, a bit of him is still out there. but yeah, I mean, that's a fun theory because I don't really know, because this episode did kind of feel like a finale in a way, because like a lot of like climactic moments happened. So I don't really know what's going to happen. Like, are all the Loki is going to team up together and somehow take down the TVA and whoever created it? Like, I don't really know. And then, you know, Sylvie confronted Renslayer, beat her at the end after. Or she took out. I'm going to be arguing to get the full rundown of why the TVA was created, because the whole sacred timeline, like I said from episode one, it's horseshit. People have already said multiverse, everything like that. Like, so I don't know why they're doing this, but they obviously have a ton of power. Magic doesn't work in the TVA. Why? Like, where the fuck is it? If it's the quantum realm, it would make sense for sure. We don't know the full rules of the quantum realm other than time works differently there. And Mobius did say in episode one, time works different here. Definitely possible. I still very much love that theory. Even if Kang isn't involved, but this is located in the TVA. That would be cool. Yeah. I would like that. But who knows? I just hope we get more of that. Because, again, they've said it works different and why they know magic, but I guess if they don't explain it, it's not really that big of a deal, because in the comics I don't think they really say where it is. It just doesn't exist in the plane of existence, really. It's outside of it.
Another thing I wanted to bring up is that obviously they
don't understand what things the point of the TVA.
Things don't work in the TVA, but the TVA doesn't have power itself. Okay, now let me explain what I mean. Because when Hunter B-15 transports Sylvie back to Roxcart, Sylvie's able to use her powers, but she still has her collar on. So the collar does nothing other than the little like time loop device. You know what I mean? Which is crazy to me. Like, you think they have all this power that, you know, the prisoner does escape with the time collar on. You wouldn't want them to be able to use their powers out anyways, you know? So, like, I thought maybe it was always, like, a combination of the two things, you know? But, like, those collars literally are just so that they can control them with the time looper. Like, so obviously, like, the thought of power or what they can and can't control is not as extravagant or strong as we think it is.
Yeah, that is very true. But, yeah, I mean, that's episode 4. It was awesome. Some people, IGN gave it a 5 out of 10, which is utterly insane to me.
I thought they gave it a 7. I could be wrong about that.
This one was five. I've seen a lot of bad
reviews about that last episode, and I don't get it unless it's something along the lines of like
too much of
a cliffhanger with like why would you kill off the two main characters? You know what I mean? Like unless that's the thought process, I don't honestly know.
Even if it didn't have the after credit scene, that's TV. So many TV episodes have crazy cliffhangers. Like that's the point of TV. I want the next episode. That's the point. You know? That's the point. But yeah, this episode is awesome. I still have no idea where it's going, which I love. I love that. Obviously, we have our theories, but there's still holes that I have no idea where it's going. And I can't wait to see how it ends. We've said this numerous times throughout the after shows, but this is definitely my favorite series of the three. Down. And I absolutely loved the other two. Absolutely loved. So, but this episode, this series has been.
Yeah. I have this spiraling idea in my head, Sean, it's not full form yet, that I'm very curious about. What if, so like, you know, Wanda ties into Strange, right? So I'm assuming that, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Armor Wars, some of that stuff will be loosely based in the same setting. Like they're all on the same planet, but like there's kind of different story arcs. Someone said, what if this thing ends up crazy? And what if this isn't the craziest one, Sean? Because someone's saying the rumor with like the Young Avengers and Kang and now this shit with Loki and time travel. What if She-Hulk is doing like the time court, like the time traveling lawyer shtick that she did at one point in time in the comics? Like, what if this keeps going, all this crazy madness?
With that, I think the TVA is going to be done after the series, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
There could still be something. You know what I mean? Like some sort of time course, some sort of. You know, I mean, you never know.
Yeah,
you never
know. I guess I don't know. Obviously, it's going to be like a court procedure. That's what Kevin Feige has coined it as, but. I don't know. I feel like it'll be more based in Earth than outer worldly, but who knows? Because that she does, like you said, she does deal with the TVA in the comics. But like I said, I don't think the TVA is making it out of this motherfucker alive. Now that all TVA is aware of what the fuck's, not all of it, but some major players in the TVA are not. And now they're gonna have an army of Lokis coming for them to fucking wreck their shit. I don't think.
Well, I have one question for you, Sean, before we wrap the show.
What is that?
Are we going to get to see Owen Wilson on a fucking jet ski before this series is over?
We need it. He even said, maybe I own a jet ski. He even alluded to it himself. We all wanted to hear it and we heard it. It's got to happen.
Yeah, I agree. Also, supposedly, there was a leaked image of Owen Wilson driving a Bronco through the desert by the Sphinx. Now, this is one of those, like, I went real deep on Twitter yesterday before the show, see if I could find something ludicrous to talk about. And this guy has this image that was, like, kind of hidden, is like a very brief clip in, like, that mid-season trailer thing. And it's Owen Wilson driving supposedly near the Sphinx. So people are saying that does confirm Kang, and Owen Wilson somehow goes back in time when Kang is posing as Ra or whichever one of the pharaohs or gods he posed as in Egypt. So, you know, that's just Twitter. Wow. I'm putting no points on that. I'm just, you know, Twitter's a savage. Twitter is the last lawless wasteland. So, yeah.
It's true. It's very true. It is the last lost wasteland. There was one theory that I came up with a few episodes ago that I don't think I brought up on the show that I don't think it's going to happen in this series. But if the Loki series does end up continuing and, you know, comes for a second season or whatever, I want to see Loki wield Mjolnir. I want him to be worthy and him to wield that fucking hammer. I want it. I need it.
Well, think about it. We know in Love and Thunder, Jane's going to become Thor, and Mjolnir's going to heal her of cancer. And then she obviously is dying at the end of it because they're not keeping Natalie Portman around. She's probably very, you know, it sounded like all the interviews she's done, it sounds like it's like the end of her story in the Marvel Universe, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that that's what happens in the comics too, is when she stops being Lady Thor, she dies because it reverses or comes back or however they explain it. So, you know, maybe that option will come. Maybe Loki, maybe something happens with whatever the climactic battle part of Love and Thunder is. Maybe Loki does prove himself worthy and that we get a payoff from, you know, two different story arcs, you know, who knows? Maybe that's something we'll see in What If.
I just want to see him wield it.
Yeah, maybe that's also something we see in What If.
It's possible, too. It has happened in the comics where he wields Mjolnir. So I want to see it. That's what I want. I told my friend that, and he's like, that would be sick. It's just, I don't think it'll happen this season because, you know, Endgame is still pretty fresh, and Cap just did it. So,
yeah.
Kind of wouldn't make a lot of sense for it to happen now. But I hope eventually it does happen. I just want to happen. Awesome, man. This giant size episode was a blast, my friend. We will be back next week, probably in earlier time, because I'm seeing Black Widow next week.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do the same thing. So we'll figure it out. Everyone just stay glued to Sean's socials. You can also follow me if you want. I'll be reposting whatever Sean posts. Let's hang out. Sean, I think for next episode, we should both wear Hawaiian shirts in honor of Owen Wilson needing to get on a jet ski. You know, I'll let you get back to me. I'll let you side text me about that. But I'd be down to do a Hawaiian shirt episode.
I'm in. I'm down to do side text you. I'm in.
Let's say do less. It.
Oh. Say less.
You know, that phrase doesn't really work on me because I like to talk too much. But, yeah.
Fair. Awesome. All right, again, guys.
All right, so you want me to close the show, Sean, or are you doing it?
I was just going to say, follow Metal Corners on social media. Check it out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching, if you're listening, take a screenshot. Post it on the internet. Tell your friends. Check out Metal Core Nerds, one of the best pop culture podcasts in the world.
Listen to this guy right here. Listen to this guy.
Joel, add your thoughts. Add your thoughts to close this motherfucker out.
I have no thoughts. I have no thoughts. But all I have to say is, you didn't know? Follow Metal Core Nerds on all the social media platforms. Follow Sean X Mott on all the social media platforms. Probably don't follow me unless you really want to on all the social media platforms. We got two more episodes of this for you. We are excited. I'm excited. Loki rules. Sean Mott rules. I'm okay. Thanks for tuning in. Subscribe, review, leave stars, like, follow, trend. Don't forget to tip Sean Mott. See you on Twitch next week. We're doing it live, baby. Loki episode 5.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. For all time. Always.